Job is convinced that if only he can get a few minutes with God, he will be able to make his case and all will be well. Job, despite all that has happened to him, despite the death of his children, the loss of his wealth, the affliction through which he is suffering, still believes that God is just. Job's faith is inspiring. It's touching. And perhaps, if we're honest, we might even say it is a bit mystifying. Job, you will recall from the first verses of this book, was without fault. He was a good man. He did not sin. He followed the way of the Lord. And yet his life has gone to hell in a handbasket. Still, he trusts in God. All he needs to do is present his case, and the misunderstanding that has led to his misfortune will be resolved, and all will be right again. Now, as Job offers this thought, in the midst of an extended dialogue with his three friends, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, they are thinking, "You don't get it, Job. Your problem is that you need to repent. You need to lay in front of God your sins, take ownership of what you have done that is wrong, and make things right with your Creator and his people. Then, and only then, will your fortunes be restored." Job and his friends are operating from two very different premises. Job believes that he is in the right, that he has been faithful, that he has not done anything wrong. His friends believe he must have somehow sinned and erred. Job wants to argue a case. His friends call on him to repent. But though their premises are very, very different, they share a fundamental common belief. There's someone to talk to. In the case of Job, there's someone before whom he can state a case. In the case of the friends, there's someone to whom an appeal for mercy can be made. They all believe God is there. But what about those times when it feels like God is not present? What about those moments when it feels as if God is not listening? In the reading we just heard, Job has not only spoken of how he believes that God is fair and will hear his case, he's also mentioned that he can't be found. In verses 8 and 9, Job says, "If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him." These words should disturb us. They should discomfort us. They should leave us ill at ease. Because I believe they illuminate a primal, fundamental fear that can make itself known to people of faith or those desiring to have faith. That God is absent. Job asks a question that people still ask to this day. Where are you, God? Now, there are those amongst us and in the wider world who will go through life with a constant, enduring sense of God's presence. It will be there at every hour and every minute. It will be like a down comforter on a cold autumn morning, a source of comfort and security and warmth. But there are also those, some of whom might be here today, indeed, who are experiencing this in this very hour, who feel as if the blanket has been torn away. Indeed, who may feel that they have never enjoyed that kind of presence or knowledge. And this feeling could arise from personal circumstances, through an illness that one is battling, or a financial calamity that has befallen a household. Maybe all is well in one's own life, but one has surveyed the global scene, has seen images of a 3-year-old boy who was drowned just short of the shore as his family has fled a government that kills its own citizens and a death cult that seeks to impose its will upon hapless victims. Or maybe people have seen images of a peace rally in Ankara torn apart by bombs that have killed 95 innocent people and wounded hundreds more. Maybe we've read stories about migrants trying to make it to our own country, who are robbed and beaten and raped by human smugglers and drug traffickers, and indeed the police who are supposed to protect them. Maybe we cast our eyes closer to home, and we think of those people here in the Upper Valley who work hard, play by the rules, do everything they're supposed to do, and yet always seem to get the short end of the stick. And in those moments, some of us may ask the question, where are you, God? I don't have an answer for you. I could resort to theology, and we could begin an exploration of theodicy, why there is evil present in the world. I could resort to scripture and lift up the example of Jesus on the cross, who asks, my God, why have you forsaken me? But these are words. These are appeals from the head. And they don't do what needs to be done when it is the heart that is breaking, when it is the heart that is empty, when it is the heart that is pained. One thing we learn from Job is that God is mysterious. God functions in a reality that includes ours but is bigger than ours. And we cannot always divine his ways. We can pray, we can appeal. We can implore, we can plead. But there are no magic words we can utter that will summon God. There is no magical incantation that will make God appear. God will come as God comes, and God will go as God goes. That is what Job suspects. That is what Job comes to know. So what are we to do? Well, I do have some good news. I'm not going to leave us in a really dark, bleak place. But the good news requires some work and some effort. We are the church. And in our more pretentious moments, we draw on Scripture and we refer to ourselves as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, God's hands, God's feet, God's eyes, God's ears, God's heart. When God seems absent for a friend or loved one, when God is absent for us, the church is called to step up. Not to offer explanations, not to tell people what they need to do to get right with God, but to be present, to offer some love and compassion and support. Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar were very well intentioned when they came to see Job. They wanted to do the right thing for their friend. But he didn't need their advice. What he needed at that time was for them to sit down in the ashes with him, to be present with him, to let him know that in that moment when he felt bereft and forlorn, he had not been abandoned. It can be hard when we want to care for others. We think we know the right thing to do. But oftentimes we just need to show up and shut up and sit and be present. And in doing so, we can offer some of what the person in need seeks. Perhaps there have been times in life when you have felt like Job. Perhaps there are times in life when we have been Eliphaz or Bildad or Zophar. The good news is the story is not over. The dialogue that we see here continues. It goes on. I said earlier that Job's faith in God's justice can seem mystifying. But when we look at things from his perspective, from his deep relationship with God, we recognize one who is not seeking a panacea, but one who is invested in a long walk, a lifetime's journey, one that will have its ups and its downs, one that is marked by risk. I'm sure there are times when many of you have called up somebody wanting to speak to them immediately, and the phone just rings and rings and rings. And maybe the answering machine doesn't come on. And you begin to wonder, is anybody there? And the reality is the person may have just fallen asleep and taken a nap. We shouldn't worry. We should try to have the confidence that Job has. And when we feel at sea or when we feel lost, when there is a great deafening silence, we should remember that God has sent his people out to offer love, to receive love, to be there, to be present, to be God's presence.